Gudiños en el arco, la defensa es colosal. González, Orlando, La Torre, Nicolás Fuentes y Chumpitas. Chale, Mifrin y Cubillas y el gran Perico León. Bailón y Alberto Gallardo completan.
This is the Peruvian Waltz podcast. I'm Peter Galindo, joined by the regulars. We have Renato Vilches with us. Renato, how are you doing?
Doing all right. There's some positive, some negative things in life, but the good thing is that once you're back to talking about Peruvian football, it brings a good feeling of moments. And there's been some positive moments, some negative moments currently in Peruvian football, but we're going to be getting into that right now.
Yes, there always is. And we also have Kevin Montalvan with us. Kevin, how are things?
I'm doing great, Peter. Finally back in the States. And what a roller coaster has been to watch this Copa America.
Yeah, for many reasons, really. But on the pitch, through three games, Peru has fared decently, let's say. They are on 4 points through those opening three games. They opened with a 4-0 defeat to Brazil, and then follow that up with a stunner with a 2-1 win over Colombia, then came from 2-0 down to draw with Ecuador in their most recent match, and probably had chances to win that if they were a little bit more clinical in those situations, looking at you, Yoshi, but you know what, you get a pass for right now. They are practically through to the quarterfinals as a result. It's just a matter of where they finish. Their final match of the group is against Venezuela on Sunday. So, guys, maybe looking back before we look forward to that Venezuela match, there have been plenty of positives and negatives, which Renato kind of touched on off the intro. But, Renato, what have you liked specifically through three games from La Selección?
Well, first of all, after watching those three games, I have to give some credit to Cristian Ramos. Now, before, when I saw that Cristian Ramos was being used frequently as of recent, at first I brought more of a mixed opinion because I thought Ramos was an okay at best defender. Not great, but not necessarily the greatest defender, where he can be a bit error prone at times. But given Cristian Ramos' experiences with the national team and how he learned a lot from Mudo during the last cycle, it made a lot of sense for Gareca to bring back Ramos after a hiatus with the national team. And his experience and also that leadership is showing. And I think that Cristian Ramos has a new partner with Alexander Gallens, who is one of those like those names that's starting to get more of a chance in this Copa America. We know that Alexander Gallens really hasn't, before this tournament, has not really got many chances in with Peru due to competition with Luis Abraham, but Luis Abraham's performances have been recent performances have been mediocre at best, and we need to also make sure that he needs to be benched if his performances are not going to be consistent. And I gotta say that Alexander Gallens has shown his strengths with his partnership with Cristian Ramos. Also, another one I would say is major shout out to Gianluca Lapadula. After that goal and asset he for against the Ecuador match just shows you that we have a striker that's going to give Ecuador a huge nightmare for the years to come. And I even can tell you that he's responding with the performance. We all thought that he was just going to be some guy that was just going to be showing up just to get a cap off and just to claim an international career, but no, it's not. It seems like the opposite, where Lapadula is actually committed to play with us, and he just shows it on the pitch. Like, there's a lot of, like, effort, pride, and he'll do his best to get you that goal. I also will say that Renato Tapia has been decent, although I will say maybe he needs to stop holding the ball a bit too much, especially where he can, like, cause an error, and maybe the own goal didn't help, but you can definitely see Renato Tapia's, like, continuous game time at Celta Vigo has been showing, recovering the ball, also, like, assisting Cristian Ramos in the center and the defense. So, yeah, those are the three players I would give some major shout-outs to.
What about you, Kevin? What have you liked, or which players specifically have you liked so far?
Specifically, I think Renato Tapia has been our best player in, let's see, the last couple matches. It's hard to rate a defensive midfielder, but you can kind of tell when he's so involved in the recoveries. he's been building his confidence, getting in some through balls. I think we would be toast without him in midfield right now.
Yes.
And then from there, obviously, La Padula is the man of the hour. Everything seems to be going right for him, which is to our benefit. And from there, I kind of like how, begrudgingly, I like how Corso's been doing. I think he's playing like he has something to prove. And maybe his time is, you know, has an expiration date, but he's giving it his all.
Well, that's going to cause some controversy, I'm sure. but one that I think really came out of nowhere was Marcos Lopez. When you look at how often Miguel Trauco has played over the years, and, you know, whether he was in form or out of form with his club, he was usually the starter. He had his deficiencies, mainly his pace and just most of his defensive attributes, sadly, but at least defensively, Lopez has really shown a lot of growth in that department. Renato, would you agree with that assessment? Would you say that Lopez has been maybe the surprise for Peru so far?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you compare both Marcos Lopez and Miguel Trauco, obviously the biggest difference I see is Lopez is more of a defensive option. He's like more physically built. He's faster. He tends to hold the ball very well. But I could definitely also see like a lot of offensive action with Marcos Lopez. And we also have to remember that Marcos Lopez has played as a winger before with Sporting Cristal. And even Marcos Lopez has displayed those offensive attributes at San Jose Earthquakes. I was surprised because Marcos Lopez has been hit and miss at his club currently, but he's taken total advantage of this opportunity. And I'm really happy for her because Miguel Trauco needs to know that even though he's the first choice technically, that doesn't mean he's always going to be like assured of a spot. We need competition in the left back's position. And after that red card, I think Gareca wanted to send a message to Miguel Trauco by putting in Marcos Lopez for the first two matches. And even then, like after like watching the recent Ecuador game, Copa America, it does show you like how, like, if you look at Marcos Lopez and Miguel Trauco, the difference in shows. If you want, like, someone like a Paolo Guerrero on the front trying to get long balls from the left side or crosses, Miguel Trauco would be your man. But if you want to be more defensive on the left back of the defense, or, like, try to have a more pacier game on the left side, then Marcos Lopez could be your man of the hour.
Kevin, do you think that with these performances that Lopez for the next little while has staked his claim to be the starter at left back, or do you think that Trauco is still going to be the trusted number one for Gareca?
I think Lopez has given enough competition to the point where Gareca has to doubt. He's got to start, you know, making his list of pros and cons. Like, if you have, you know, Guerrero or Ormeño up front, maybe you use Trauco because he's more capable of doing those long passes straight to the striker. But if we're really playing, you know, more of a countering game, we need someone faster on the counter, I think Lopez is the man to take that spot. And he's younger, so he has that going for him. So I can see Lopez continuously challenging for the spot, and that's great for Peru. That's great that Trauco can't, you know, come in and expect to start.
Indeed it is. And you hope that that's going to be the case in a number of positions, which maybe leads nicely into the antithesis of this subject. Kevin, what have you not liked from Peru so far? I mean, there are a couple of things that you could choose from, but what stands out to you?
Our first halves.
Yeah, fair.
In general, we seem to not be able to let's see, group together our passing lanes in the attack. I guess I'm gonna have to talk more about Ecuador since that's more fresh. But it just seems like we're a little sloppy there. Like if Carrillo and Cueva are not, you know, on point, if they're not playing, you know, a game that's like 8 points and above, then Peru really lacks teeth. You know, Yoshi can only do so much. Galens and Ramos can only do so much to try to try to keep us in the game. But it, you know, I think Peña was very interesting in that last match, because you could tell he's getting confidence, getting so many first team minutes for the national team, and hopefully that's something that can improve for La Selección. But he has been a low point to me in the first two matches against Brazil and Colombia.
Renato, what about you? What have you not liked from Peru so far? I have a feeling I know what one of these answers is going to be, but maybe you'll surprise us.
Well, first of all, I need to talk about our pace. Like, I get that we're not the most fastest team, but if we want to be, like, more dangerous or more, like, aware, then our players cannot be slow. And I'm especially talking about the fullbacks, Miguel Trauco and Aldo Corso especially. During the first half of the Ecuador match, I don't know what they were doing. I just felt like they were just being slow. On the course, post specifically, where he was getting dominated by Pervis Estupian. And I think that first goal that Ecuador made, on the course, got beaten in a ground duel that eventually led to Tapia getting, unfortunately, an own goal for us, which hurt us a lot. But I think another person that I would say is maybe Sergio Peña, which might surprise people because it's true that he did score a goal against Colombia off a rebound, and he did provide a beautiful pass.
Amazing
pass in the Ecuador game. I will say this, that I think this is the problem when you put Peña and Cueva on the same field. They're virtually the same player, where they're like an advanced midfielder trying to give creative passes around the middle or like right by the left wing, especially considering they're left-sided players. And when you basically have two players with the same functionality, one is going to outweigh the other, and Cuevas is outweighing Peña, which fortunately kind of like leaves Peña a bit like a headless chicken at times, which is a shame. But I would assume that if Peña wants to get more of a chance with the national team, he needs to be like more involved or like more like get himself around. Like, don't just wait to take action with the ball. Just try to like go in or do something. Maybe I could think this would be more effective if Wave wasn't on the field. Maybe you could just put something like Luis Aberico on left wing or Russell Garcia and just put Peña as a sole 10. But that's something I just want to see more improvement from. And as I said, the fullbacks, they got to be more faster, especially on the Corso, because, well, I will say, to his credit, I will say he's been not bad in terms of his defensive attribution, since we know that a common complaint of Luis Arvincula is that he leaves a lot of defensive gaps open, and Aldo Corso fixes that problem. But the one thing you do miss of an Arvincula is the pace, and that has definitely hurt us a lot in this tournament.
Well, yeah, and I think that Corso really describes, if you were to just look at one player, he describes the entire issue for Peru, I feel, in that they just don't have a lot of pace in transition.
I was also going to mention this as well. The one thing that really just like does not make me like Corso is what he contributes to the attack. Like, and that's the one thing that makes Gareca fullback in his definition. What makes Trauco work is how he can give crosses or even attacking opportunities from the back left side. Even on the moments where Trauco is on a defensive like day, you could think the same could be for Corso, but. And while it's true that he can offer you defensively, like offensively, which is something Avincula offers, I do not see that. It's like, and that's where I feel like our right side can be a bit weak with Carrillo, because he's begging for support on the backside.
Yeah, how many times has Carrillo had to come back super, super deep into the defensive third and really have to carry the ball forward and then create some chances? It's been a lot. But that was going to be my next point. That really is the one downside with having Corso out there. When the game is in front of you and you're sitting in your blocks and the game is really just in front of you the whole time, Corso is serviceable in those situations. But then when you push up and you're exploited on the counter, his lack of pace is really evident. Same with Christian Ramos, by the way. There are many instances where I feel like any other center back on Peru's roster would have easily gotten to a ball, and they were just too slow to get there, which is not their fault. They're just not that fast. But the fact that they're out there in those situations doesn't really help the team's defensive solidity. And I mean, Renato, you, obviously the point about the attacking contributions is very, very valid. But in general, and I think this ties to what Kevin said about the first half, you see the difference when Peru actually, for lack of a better term, gives a you-know-what. They actually deliver an effort, and they're going into duels, and they're trying to win the ball first, or they're trying to win second balls off aerials. It's night and day, because all of a sudden, it all comes together, because then you have the triangles between, you know, whoever's playing left back, and then Yotun and Cueva, then you have Carrillo, and whoever's, you know, playing on the right side of midfield, which I guess is usually Peña these days, and then Corso, and then you're able to, I think, unlock teams that way, because then you pull defenders out of position, and then, you know, Lapadula can make a run in behind and whatnot. All those things contribute to it. And that's really, I think, what we could all agree on. We need to see more consistency in that regard, because the slow starts are really, really hurting them. Obviously, didn't have too slow of a start against Colombia, but, you know, obviously in the other two games, not so much. So that is something to watch for. Before we move on to a preview of the Venezuela match, Kevin, very quickly, has your outlook on La Selección changed compared to, say, the end of the June qualifiers?
I think so, because going into the the Ecuador match, I didn't think we really had a bench. I didn't think, like, if we're looking at, you know, if we need to go up a goal and the end of the second half, like the 80th minute, I'm looking at the bench and I don't see anything. Now I see we have options. We have, you know, Marcos Lopez. We have Peña that can do some damage once he's in, you know, more focused in the game. La Padula and even Ormeño is starting to get into the rhythm. Right. He honestly should have gotten an assist in the last match. Yoshi, you let me down.
That was a beautiful pass. If Ormeño could do that, we have a great option on strikers.
Yeah, I think he's picking. He was coming in from a slight injury, but he clearly has more to offer the team, which we might see in the next match if La Padula is still nursing an injury on his ankle.
Absolutely. Renato, before we move on, what is your outlook on La Selección now that you've seen these three games of Copa América? Is it better? Is it worse? Is it the same? Where do you stand?
I think it's more of a mixed bag. I mean, regarding the Brazil match, listen, I think we all knew that it was going to be a match lost from the start, because beating Brazil at home is nothing more than just an out-of-sync fairy tale. But to its credit, I think Peru did looked okay in the first half. Then when Gareca made all those changes out of nowhere, we just fell apart suddenly. But at least we got to see some new players use. Thankfully, than just losing straight out without anything given. But I did see a lot of positive results in the Colombia game. The Ecuador game, as I said, it was just a big mix of both negative, then eventually turned to a positive. We finally got to see La Padula score a goal after all this time. It's really great that we saw what Ormeño is capable of. I think that things could be going for the better for us, and I hope that this could translate well in the upcoming qualifying matches, regardless what happens to us in the Copa America, because this tournament should be just used to help us see what players who don't get much of an opportunity, such as new players, could contribute to us in the future.
Completely agreed with all of that. I guess the only thing I'd like to see, and what would maybe give me more optimism, is maybe just giving one or two more new guys a better opportunity. I mean, it's nice to see Peña and Lopez and even Callens come in and look pretty decent. You know, it has been nice to see that, but you maybe want to see one or two more guys replace some of the key starters and, you know, I suppose take that opportunity and run with it from here, because I think some of those players could use a rest, which brings us nicely into the Venezuela preview. As mentioned, that game is Saturday. No Christian Ramos, because he is suspended due to yellow card accumulation. And potentially, as Kevin touched on, Gianluca Lapadula might be unavailable as well with an ankle sprain. It doesn't sound like Gareca will risk him. So with that in mind, Kevin, do you think that we will see, let's say, Miguel Araujo and Santiago Ormeño start? Or do you expect someone like maybe Alex Valera to start up front, considering he has been training with the 11 recently?
I think the moment matters more. And realistically, Ormeño's playing at a higher level. He scored way more goals than Valera. I think he's the logical choice over Ormeño, over Valera. So I think that that's kind of a given, to see what he can do for 90 minutes, or, you know, at least, you know, 70 or so, whatever he can give us at this moment. And as far as Araujo, he's got the pace. He's coming off of one of the best seasons I've ever seen him play. And I think he's got it. He's got it in him to be a leader in the defense. And I honestly would like to see him alongside Callens to see what they can offer the team.
I agree with that completely. Renato, do you think those will be the two changes, Ormeño and Araujo, or do you see it going differently?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we got to give Lapadula a rest. I mean, considering an ankle sprain, yeah, you cannot risk him, considering that he's been playing quite a few, like a lot of matches with us recently. I think this is a perfect opportunity to see what Ormeño can do for a large amount of minutes. Like, after what we saw in his cameo against Ecuador, if you saw that pass he gave to Yoshi, I mean, I think there's a lot more that Ormeño can do than just that. So, and considering that Ormeño is basically the Paolo type striker, you can imagine that the players will definitely want to like to play for a type of striker like that, especially for the attacking fullbacks like Miguel Trauco, especially him. Yeah, definitely also give Miguel Araujo a chance. I did like what I saw for him in his cameo against Ecuador. Looked very defensively, very fast. I do think maybe we could even partner him with Alexander Callens, because Callens, I feel like, could still stay in the starting lineup after showing a very, very strong display against Colombia and Ecuador. Also, I would say maybe try to bench maybe Yoshi because I believe that he's about to be on a yellow card accumulation. If he gets yellow carded against Venezuela, he could be out for the potential quarterfinal. Maybe you can either replace him with Wilder Cartagena or even give a chance to Martin Tavara or Alexis Arias. Also, maybe I could say maybe try to rest Christian Cueva, or maybe, as I said, maybe put Peña as number 10 and just give a chance to either Russell Garcia or Luis Everico on left wing. But honestly, my most biggest hope is the right back. Look, I think Aldo Corso has not been doing that awful in this tournament, but I think we need to make sure that he needs to know that his space is not secured. And we brought Hinmar Lora to this tournament, and we need to see what he's made of. Like, we need an attacking-minded fullback of a Miguel Trauco type on the right side, and we need to see what Lora can give us. We know that he's defensively good, but also offensively good, and I want to see him get this opportunity against Venezuela. It's a perfect match, perfect opponent, and we will see what he's made of.
Well, on that subject, Kevin, Renato gave us the changes he'd like to see. Do you expect more changes than just those two that will probably be forced from Gareca?
We have to understand, we are basically qualified. Ecuador is not going to beat Brazil in Brazil. I'll eat my words if it does happen. I'll put a little Ecuador flag on my profile or something. But that's not gonna happen. So we're qualified. It's a question of if we're gonna be second or third. I think Colombia's already done, so we just need a point from the Venezuela match and we're second. So knowing that information, I would rest Tapia. I think Cartagena is a solid option. The man needs some minutes, and he lives for this. I think you guys can see highlight videos of how he had like three slide tackles in the opponent's third, recovering the ball as cleanly as possible. I think he deserves the minutes over Tavara or Arias, which, don't get me wrong, I would like to see one of them. I know I know they're not both going to play because Gareca has benched them, or actually they haven't even made the bench in the last two matches. But I would hope that one of them would get some minutes, even if it's just in the second half. And as far as Carrillo is on a yellow, but I don't know if Iberico really thrives on the right.
Yeah, and that's really the one problem, right, is that there isn't a lot of options on the right.
Yeah, that it's a shame. I think it's the one thing Gareca just kind of overlooked.
Clearly, yes.
Should have called up Gabi Costa, honestly.
Well, yeah, anybody. Like, just having the one right winger isn't exactly ideal, but we're in the situation now, so we just got to live with it, I guess. I would also rest Tapia if I were to make a third change just to preserve him. You just don't know. The guy's played a lot, so better to give him a night off and, you know, give Cartagena a chance because, Kevin, as you've discussed a couple of times, Cartagena has not been capped a lot. So this is finally a chance for him to possibly get a, well, maybe not a full 90, but certainly the majority of a game under his belt for once and maybe stake a claim. And he obviously does well in that role. That is his primary position. He did quite nicely off the bench against Ecuador. Why not have him build on that and show his worth, I suppose. But that would probably be the only other change I would expect. I don't think Gareca will want to change up the defense too much. Maybe, possibly, Trauco comes out. I don't know, but we'll have to see, I suppose. Switching gears to some news involving Peruvians abroad, it looks like Luis Abíncula will be joining Boca Juniors soon. It seems to be about 70% complete, if you were to believe the reports that are out there. Renato, do you like this move for him coming back to South America and playing for, well, obviously a massive club?
Oh, I think it's like a solid move for Abíncula. To be honest, his time at Rayo Vallecano has been a very huge hit and miss, especially about amid a mini controversy involving him with the fans that possibly took the morale off of him, unfortunately. I think there are some arguments to say if Abíncula still has the capabilities of playing in European football, but it would seem nice for him to stay in Spain. But at the same time, it's been widely known that Abíncula is an avid Boca Juniors fan and that he's been the dream right back for many fans for years since he broke out with Peru, especially after his fine display at Newell's, back in 2016, I believe, or 2017,
something like that,
where he stood out as the best right back in the Argentine League. So yeah, I think he would drive perfectly at Boca. He knows the Argentinian league already, so he's got the experience playing there, and he definitely could boost up their Boca's hopes of winning a league title in Argentina, and definitely, most importantly, the Copa Libertadores, and also playing with Zambrano would be such a huge bonus for him as well.
Kevin, are you in agreement? Do you think that this is the right move for Abíncula to make at this point?
If Rayo Vallecano had not just been promoted to La Liga, I'd be all over this. But I think playing first division in Spain is a little bit, more prestigious right now. And he just got his European passport. To me, it's a strange move.
Unless he wants to move back to Spain at some point, because let's be honest, who does not want to live in Spain?
I suppose.
True.
And speaking of Cartagena, we've seen reports of him possibly joining Juan Reynoso at Cruz Azul. Kevin, your thoughts on this one? That could be a nice little partnership there.
Cartagena has what it takes. He has a lot of heart. He has the talent. I would love to see him in a bigger side in the Americas. And if Reynoso likes a lot of rotation, but Cartagena is one of those guys that will give you 100%, whether it's in the last 10 minutes or the full 90, whatever is needed by the coach.
Yeah, that's for sure. As we saw with those three slide tackles that you mentioned. Renato, your thoughts on Cartagena maybe going to Cruz Azul?
Would be a fantastic signing for Juan Reynoso. I know that it's been widely said that Juan Reynoso it wants a few reinforcements for the upcoming season, one of them which is on new midfielder. And it's this fact that Willer Cartagena has been linked with a move back to Mexico is great news. I think that he could fit perfectly in Juan Reynoso's system. And we definitely could see what Cartagena is capable of. He's shown that a Godoy Cruz can give you like a lot of work in the midfield. It can score beautiful goals from distance. It's something that we definitely need in the national team. And I hope it will work out for him if he finds the right move.
Finally, the big one from this week in terms of potential moves abroad, Aaron Sanchez, Cantolao's young stalwart center back. He has drawn the interest of Arsenal. They want to bring him on trial for the entirety of the preseason this summer, but Cantolao is also waiting for a formal offer, and the fee could be around 2 million euros if that goes through. Renato, how massive would this be if it happened?
Oh, that would be awesome. I mean, it's Arsenal. I mean, maybe they're not the most massive club that they used to be, like, maybe in the early to mid 2000s, but they're still a reputable European club. I think for Aaron Sanchez, from what I've been hearing, Edu Gaspar, the current sporting director of Arsenal, reportedly wants Aaron Sanchez as he and the rest of the Arsenal scouting and recruitment are looking at South America for recruiting new talents to get the next Gabriel Martinelli, especially now with Brexit. It makes it a whole lot easier for not just Premier League clubs, but English clubs in general to acquire these young South American talents at a young age. So for Aaron Sanchez, who's been considered a huge player projection in Peru, it's even been on the pre-list for Copa America, potentially getting a move to Arsenal would be perfect news for Peruvian football. Now, of course, I don't think he's going to, obviously, even if he does get the move to Arsenal, should the trial be successful and if Edu signs him, I don't think he's going to be starting at Arsenal immediately, because I think he would still need to get points for the work permit. But from what I also hear, that Edu would want to loan him to possibly to a club in Belgium, Portugal, Germany, or even the Netherlands. So I think if he were to take advantage of a loan move in Europe, which would be in line with his development and growth as a player, then I can definitely see him with a lot of potential. Maybe, who knows, in the future to fight for a place at Arsenal and to become maybe a new gem of Arsenal's South American scouting recruitment. We already saw that what they can do. By getting maybe a relatively lesser known South American with Gabriel Martinelli, and who brings out results for them. Maybe Edu wants to do that again, but this time for a player from Peru. So I think this is part of a plan that Arsenal could have for the future.
Kevin, what do you think about these developments for Aaron Sanchez?
I think it's great news for Aaron Sanchez and for Peru. It's much more than, just a trial. They're inviting him for the preseason. This has been confirmed by the sporting director of Arsenal, the coach of Cantolao. So he has a solid chance to prove what he's got. He has been overperforming with Cantolao. I thought they were relegation fodder this year, and they're hanging on. They're doing well. Mm-hmm. In part thanks to Aaron Sanchez, who has been a starter for them since he was 17, I want to say. He's been scoring important goals for them, which is just a bonus on top of his defending abilities. He's got the height, and, it's perfect timing. It's perfect timing to see an 18-year-old with more than, 50 games under his belt, and hopefully he's ready for it and can show what he's got.
And that right foot of his is unbelievable. Some of the passes he hits are mind-blowing, quite frankly. So yeah, let's hope he does get that trial completed and goes over there, impresses, and like Renato said, I highly doubt he's going to be starting right away, but maybe in a couple of years he can end up breaking through, because they seem to really value those younger players these days under Mikel Arteta.
I was going to say that I've been hearing that from what I know that Arsenal, like some people close to Arsenal says that he could definitely be like an option for the U23 team if he were to get the work permit. So I think that could also definitely be a good transition for him to the UK football in a similar matter, Rodrigo Vilca right now.
Under 23 for a year and then see what happens after that. That's more than fine, really. Before we close out the show, this is a little bit overdue. Apologies for that. But we did have a giveaway to hype up the start of Copa America. We were giving away a Peru kit if you named the correct 11 for the opener against Brazil. And we can reveal that one person did actually nail it completely. José Luis Huguet at JL Huguet 84 got the correct 11. It was Gaese, Corso, Ramos, Abraham, Lopez, Tapia, Yotun, Peña, Cueva, Carrillo, and Lapadula. So, José, you have won a Peru kit. I'm sure Kevin will get in contact with you if he hasn't already by the time you listen to this. Thank you, everybody, for participating. We will try to do one or two more of these as the tournament continues. Obviously, if Peru stays around long enough and we record in a timely manner, which is, I guess, up to me. But before we say goodbye, let's get our final shout-outs and Twitter handles from everybody. Kevin, first of all, your Twitter handle and final thought for the week.
So you guys can follow me at kmontalvan7. And my shout out is to José Luis. I'll be reaching out to you shortly. And congrats, man.
Absolutely. And Renato, what is your Twitter handle and your final thought?
My Twitter handle is Renato_Sun. First of all, congratulations to José Luis for winning the giveaway. Hope you enjoy the Peru shirt. The second is to give a massive shout out to Gianluca Lapadula. We all thought that we were doubting you at first, but man, you have given it your all, and I hope that you can be an inspiration for many Peruvians who were raised abroad to play for the national team one day, because there are many more cases like you, and I know that they're willing to play and like die for this jersey.
Yes, and as we saw in that Ecuador match in Quito, the man has iron lungs. The altitude does not get to him, which is insane. But that will do it for us this week. This is the Peruvian Waltz team, and we are signing off.
Rubiños en el arco, la defensa es colosal. González, Orlando, La Torre, Nicolás, Fuentes y Chumpitas. Chale, Mifrin y Cubillas, y el gran Perico León. Bailón y Alberto Gallardo completan la selección.